Alrighty, well, my name is Alexander Larson. I am from Morningstar Baptist Church, and it is a great honor and privilege to come to you this afternoon via the airwaves. And I just wanted to thank the Lord for this opportunity He has just given me and given our church, just to try to spread the gospel and just give a little hope in these dark times, and just share the love and joy of Christ Almighty Himself. But tonight I'll be preaching, my text verse is going to be 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 16. And then we'll be doing a lot of Bible aerobics. So we're going to be all over the place tonight. I've got references just from one end to the other end of the book. But the title for this message is something I was trying to come up with, and the threat is real. Right now we live in perilous times, uncertain times, times of we just don't know what's going on. One day it's completely different from the next day. It's just very uncertain. And we're all aware of the COVID-19 virus and how it has just affected our lives, how it swept across the world like a flood, how the world leaders have tried to use fear and just uncertainty to scare us. And now I'm not saying I know the severity by any means. Only the Lord God Almighty knows the severity of this so far. And, you know, this has not caught Him by surprise one bit. It may have caught all of us by surprise. It may have caught the CDC by surprise. But it has not caught the Lord God Almighty by surprise. Brother Cameron, He knows all. He knows every hair on our head. He knows our thoughts. He knows our deepest desires. He knows that secret that we have buried and our spouses don't even know. He knows it all. So this has not caught Him by surprise one bit. You know, right now we're told to wear masks, and we're told that we shouldn't leave our homes because the threat is so real. The threat is so dangerous out there. We're told that what we considered essential is not really essential. Right now, bars are open. Clubs are open. Many things are open. But they are not considering churches essential. That, to me, it's heartbreaking. Because there should be nothing more essential in a time of need like we are in than the church. In a time of uncertain times, the only place where you can go to get true answers is the church. The only one you can get answers that already knows the question you're going to ask is God Almighty Himself. And it has been deemed unessential when bars have been deemed essential, when liquor stores have been deemed essential. But the most essential thing we need right now is to focus on Jesus Christ Almighty. To get into His Word, to live it, to love it, to read it, and more importantly, to have faith in God Himself and not fear in the things that we don't know. Because we're all unaware. But what I'm saying is there's a far more prevalent danger that my Bible tells me about than COVID-19 itself. There's a far more prevalent danger. And you may be thinking right now, what is more dangerous than this COVID-19, which has shut down literally the entire world? What is more dangerous? Well, it's in every one of us already. Every single one of us already. And we're going to go to 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 16. But before that, I'm going to pray real quick. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You again for this opportunity. I thank You again for Your grace and Your mercy that You've shed upon me and my family and my loved ones and upon my church, Lord. I thank You just so much for all that You've done, for protecting us, for giving us wisdom through these unseen times, Lord. I just pray that You would use me today to let me be a help in this dark world. Let me be a light, Lord. But not for anything of my own doing, so you can get all praise, honor, and glory, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it of the world. Now, for sake of time, I cannot focus on all of these, but I am going to hone in on one in particular. And this is one that every one of us deal with on a daily basis. We have dealt with, we've met people that deal with it, and it's the pride of life. The pride of life, I feel, is more dangerous than any virus we have came into contact with so far. Because we're all affected by it already. We are all under our flesh, and we are all consumed by the things of the flesh. But the Bible has given us a vaccine. It has given us a vaccine for this pride of life. Now, the pride of life has led many people into the arms of Satan and straight into hell. It has split many good Christian churches right down the middle. It has torn families apart. It has caused marriages to end in divorce. It has led to wars. Countless lives have been lost because the pride that few men had and led innocent people to death. Pride is a very serious thing. But what is pride? Let's just get right into a definition of it. Let's get down to the roots of it. It is the inordinate self-esteem and unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank or evaluation in office, which manifests itself in lofty airs, distant reserve, and often incompetent of others. Basically, Brother Cam, in Packlet language, we think we the stuff, and it's all because of us, and nobody has done it but because of us, and we're the best at everything. When in reality, it is the Lord God Almighty that has provided us with everything we have in our lives. He has provided us with the air we breathe. He's provided us, Lord willing, with a loving family. He's provided us with a church we can call home. He's provided us with a Bible that'll get us through any trouble, trial, tribulation that we may come into. The Lord Himself has provided all this, not us. Not us. So why is pride a bad thing? You know, we're told at a young age, take pride in your work. It's because of you. Take pride in your work, which I'm not saying not to be prideful of your work, but don't let pride control your life. Don't let pride be what drives you. The Bible has a lot to say about pride, and the Lord has a strong feeling for it, and He lets us know about it. Pride is dangerous. It is very dangerous. It will take you places you never thought you would go. It'll make you say things you never thought you would say. You want some scripture? I got you. Proverbs 14:3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. I got a little example for you. Now, if you've been married any length of time, you have got into some kind of disagreement, heated argument, loud discussion, however you want to put it, with your significant other or your spouse. And many a times, I have been 100% in the wrong. No question about it. But the pride I had would not let me say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Instead, I would fight it tooth and nail, and that little argument turned into a mountain That molehill turned into a mountain because of the pride I had that I could not simply admit that it was my fault. And it just blew it out of the water completely. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. This is one that is a scripture that is really dear to me, because pride was leading me to destruction. Hands down, if it were not for the Lord Himself coming down and humbling me and opening my eyes that it was pride that was about to lead me to hell. I had heard that altar call many a times. Many times I heard that altar call sitting in the back of the church. And the main reason I never got up to accept Christ was pride. The pride that if I got out of that pew and walked down the aisle, I had an entire church looking at me. The pride that I didn't want people to think I was lost. The pride that they might question my marriage, question my thoughts. The pride almost led me into the hands of Satan himself. And I was going to die and go to hell a lost sinner because I was too prideful to go down that aisle and accept the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Pride goeth before destruction. It almost sent me to hell. Now, one of the first things we have to do when we have a problem is admit we have a problem. If you want to get it fixed, you're going to have to humble yourself and admit that you have a problem. I had to admit to myself that it was pride keeping me on that pew and keeping me out of the altar. It was pride myself that was keeping me away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, praise the Lord, He has given us free will to reject Him. He's given us free will. And at that time, I was using my free will to reject Him because of pride. Now, God hates pride. This is not my opinion. Now, in these days, we constantly hear the love of Christ. And yes, the love of Christ is real. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to die for us. The love of Christ is real, but God can hate. And again, this is not my opinion. Proverbs 6:16-19. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. The first thing here, I feel like everything that is in this Bible has been put in order for a reason. The Lord orchestrated it Himself and wanted us to know it exactly as it was. The first thing, a proud look. A proud look. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. And heart that deceiveth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. Yeah. Proverbs 8:13. Yes, sir. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil pride and arrogance, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Like I said, it's not my opinion. I have Bible to back it up that the Lord hates a prideful heart. Because when you're full of pride, you can't be reasoned with. The Lord cannot teach you what He wants us to know. He cannot soften a prideful heart. It is hardened by pride itself. Now, before we get too down on ourselves about how we're full of pride and there is no help, like I said at the beginning, there is a vaccine for our pride. Now notice I did not say there is a cure. A cure would completely remove it. It'd make it gone. We'd never have to face it again. But a vaccine, example was the flu, does not cure it, but it helps you to prevent it. It's like a block in between you and it. The first thing for this vaccine is you need to humble yourself. Humble, the definition is lowly, modest, meek, submissive, opposed to proud, haughty, arrogant, or assuming, in an evangelistic sense, having a low opinion of oneself and a deep sense of unworthiness in the sight of God. We are all unworthy. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But because of His grace and mercy that He has upon us, He did not automatically judge us for it. He did not destroy us for the things we have done. Because God knows, if He was to judge me on my past, I would not go to heaven. If He was to judge me on my past, I would be in hell at this moment. But He sent His Son to die for us. Amen. Now, the fastest way to humble yourself is to get in the presence of the Lord. Yes. To get in the presence of the Lord. Yes. To get in the room with Him. Amen. To get in a service with Him. Amen. To get honest with yourself before the Lord. Remove the outward appearance that we put on. You know, there's been times that I've walked in this church and I look like we got it all together, but driving down the road, we're loud as can be, yelling like crazy, and it's a madhouse in that car. Yeah. But you get out and you look like you got everything going on. We need to get honest with the Lord. We need to ditch that outward appearance and get humble with Him. Revelations 1:17. Proof that getting in the presence of the Lord will humble you. And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. And He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Now this was John who penned this. I feel like John was one of the closest men to ever walk this earth with Jesus Christ Himself. He was the man that rested His head upon the bosom of God Almighty, of Jesus Christ. He heard the divine heartbeat of Christ. That is a closeness that personally I don't have with many people. I have it with my children. I've heard their heartbeats. I've heard my wife's heartbeat. But you don't walk up to strangers and just stick your head on their chest to hear their heartbeat. There's a closeness there that you have to have before you would even come close to that. Especially in these days where 6 feet apart, wear a mask, gloves, you ain't touching nobody. I mean, there was a serious closeness there that He was able to hear the heartbeat. But what does it say? And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. That is humble right there. There's nothing more humble than to fall down at somebody's feet, to get low to the ground, to expose your neck. Exposing your neck is a sign of trust because your head's down, you can't see what's coming, and one of the most vulnerable spots of your body is exposed. That is humble, that is trust, that is love. Amen. So humble yourselves. Get in the presence of the Lord. Where is this doctor's office to get this vaccine? Where's it at? We use our phones to look up anything we need right now. I can type up any destination in the United States of America. One click, I've got an exact mileage, minute, second to how long it's going to take me to get there and how to get there. So where's this vaccine at? Where do I go to get it? An old-fashioned altar or a place of prayer. The Bible says this is not a den of thieves, but a house of prayer. Go to the church, the old-fashioned church. Prayer is something we do not realize the power of often. We take it for granted. I personally have taken for granted the power of prayer. It's our direct line to Christ, and it's how we talk to Him directly. It will help us when we are low and need answers. It is very humbling to get down on our knees and pray before Lord God Almighty. Matthew 7:7-8. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find it. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. God strengthens us through prayer. Galatians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. When we do not have it in ourselves to ditch this pride, He can strengthen us to ditch this pride. We cannot do it on our own. The third thing, and time is fastly getting away from us here, is to read your Bible. Read your Bible daily, faithfully. I mean, it's always amazed me since I have been saved how people can believe that the Word of God is not important. What does the Bible tell us in 1 John? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. It's amazed me that people can believe that Jesus walked on water, that He healed the blind, that He could raise a man from the dead, that He Himself could raise from the dead 3 days later, but they don't believe that He could preserve His Word for us, which the Bible says He holds above His own name. The Bible says He is the Word, and people cannot believe that He could preserve His Word. And this is free of charge. The King James Version is the correct, preserved, pure, unadulterated Word of God Almighty Himself. God used His Word to defeat Satan Himself when He was being tempted. Matthew 4:4. But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of my mouth. Or out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:7. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt thy Lord, or the Lord thy God. Matthew 4:10. Thus saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. If Jesus was able to use the Bible to defeat Satan Himself, to defeat him. And the Bible says, after He had fasted for 40 days, He was not a spring chicken right here. He had been walking and fasting for 40 days. The devil's not going to come at you when you're at your strongest, Brother Cameron. He's not. He's not going to come at you when you're looking. He's the most subtle beast of the field. The devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. A lion will pick the weak one out of the whole herd, 100 head of herd. He'll pick the one limping and he'll separate it, get it on its own, get the weak one alone, and then that's when he'll get you. But Jesus used the power of His Word to resist him, to defeat him. Finally, with time coming shortly to an end, crucify your flesh daily. Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. Luke 9:23-25. And He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Now I've got a couple questions for you. Are you living a prideful life right now? Most of us will answer yes there. Most of us will. Do you know how to fix it? Do you know where to get this vaccine to help you fix this pride issue that's inside of us. Is it hindering you? And if it is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about this pride-filled life that you're living? Because we need to surrender our all. We need to empty ourselves and fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit through His Word, through the presence of God Almighty. And for the alliteration, pride is cured with the presence of God, prayer, and the power of the Word. And I'll close in prayer real quick. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You again for this opportunity You've given us. Lord, I just pray that You would have used this message that You put on my heart to help somebody just to realize that we cannot do it alone, that we have to do it through Christ Almighty Himself. Lord, I pray that You would just keep everyone safe through these troubled times. I pray that You would not fear run this world, but let faith control Your children, Lord. Lord, I pray that if somebody among us would be lost, that they would seek You today, seek Your love, Lord. Just to know that in a time of fear, they can have faith and love in someone that was not taken by surprise, Lord. Lord, we love You again. We give You all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That it wasn't as bad as it seemed. That was God.
That was God.
When you're down and alone with not a friend to talk to, then suddenly someone comes, words to uplift you. Seems that your help just came out of the blue. That was God.
That was God.
Oh, that's God. He's walking through my darkest night. Is descending with power and might, and His love it surrounds me and wraps my soul safe and tight. Oh, that's God. He made a way for eternal life, set a sign to die. What a great sacrifice, who nailed all our sins to the cross. Brother, that's body came out of that sickness. That was God.
That was God.
When you had no money but someone provided, that was God.
That was God.
When you're hungry and tired and no rest can be found, now there's food on your table and a place to lay down.
Brother, that's God.